The following podcast has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
Hey, how's it going? This is WWE's Lita, and you're listening to Perched on the Top Rope.
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, former Dirt Sheet writer, Lee Walker, and joining me is our co-host, ladies and gentlemen, from KWK. Sean, how you doing today?
Good morning.
Yeah, it's Friday morning for you.
I'm awake with my coffee, so you know, at least I'm around. Don't worry about it. You know, not good thing I'm not that sleepy, so that I can, you know, I can still function.
Right. Well, you know, this weekend, we do have the WWE Elimination Chamber.
That's all I can give.
You know, it's four matches. We have a men and women's Elimination Chamber match. Mm-hmm. And then we have which the women's is Rhea Ripley versus Tiffany Stratton, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Kiana James, Raquel Rodriguez. We have the Women's Intercontinental Championship, which is Becky Lynch versus AJ Lee.
Yeah.
We have the Men's Chamber match, which is Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and main event Jey Uso. And we have the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, CM Punk, taking on Finn Balor. So I'm going to go through each match, give a little description of each match, and we'll go from there, give our thoughts and give our predictions. So the women's
before that, I have my gripes. Like, how many times can we deal with this? I think a PLE with like four or five matches on the card rather than the old ways. I'm sorry, I'm into the old ways. Of like 6-7 matches card. I mean, yes, it gives you more storytelling and everything else, but at the same time, you know, it really doesn't make things as interesting because, you know, all you do is you just have four or five matches on the card and there are less people on the show. And yeah. You know, it sort of takes away from some of the other talents to get chances on those spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I totally understand. And like a lot of PLEs and things like that, you know, those are good paydays for wrestlers. And taking matches away, you know, you're taking paydays away, essentially, is exactly the way I'm looking at it. You know, like even like, you know, the Royal Rumble, at least for the men's, I noticed there was a lot of notable names that weren't there, that weren't in it. And when you have, you know, less and less matches, there's a less chance you're going to see, you know, those mid-card guys and women, the, you know, lower-card people aren't on the show unless they're involved in some sort of backstage segment, which, you know, usually is not the case with a PLE.
I mean, it's like the undercard guy's got to be stuck for life. That's how it seems.
You know, on the other side of this, I can see from both sides here.
Right.
You know, this gives, you know, those lower or mid-card people, I guess, a chance to prove themselves or show themselves that they're worthy of being on these PLEs. Because, like, when you look at the names that are on these PLEs, yeah, we have, like, you know, we have some up-and-comers that are on here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually all the same people.
Right.
You know, that we're seeing in a PLE situation. And, you know, we have in this PLE, we have a couple of names that we wouldn't have expected. But for the most part, we have a lot of the same names that are within the main event.
Right.
So I'm going to go through each match, just give a brief description, and we'll talk about the match who we think is going to win. I'm going to start with the Women's Elimination Chamber match, as we have Rhea Ripley, Tiffany Stratton, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Kiana James, and Raquel Rodriguez. So Tiffany Stratton advanced when she beat Lash Legend and Chelsea Green on SmackDown. Rhea Ripley qualified by overcoming Lia Valkyria and Ivy Nile on Raw. Alexa Bliss defeated Julia and Zelina Vega to grab her spot. And she would be joined by Asuka, who defeated Bayley and Natty. And it would be Kiana James, who beat, and this was a shocker, getting a pinfall over Charlotte Flair in their match that also involved Nia Jax, because these were all triple threat matches. And Raquel Rodriguez qualified also, as she defeated Io Sky and Kairi Sane as the final qualifier.
I mean,
Now,
yeah, go ahead.
the winner of this match gets a title shot at WrestleMania. We have a couple. We got one name who's an up-and-comer, Kiana James, who defeat, who got a pinfall victory over Charlotte Flair, which is, I would say, the biggest pinfall victory in her career to date. But for the most part, we have, all main eventers who have all been champions before, besides from Raquel Rodriguez.
I mean, I look at this and I'm thinking, I mean, the most logical one people are going to go with is probably Mommy. Right? I personally would want Alexa Bliss, obviously. Or Tiffany Stratton, but I just feel Rhea Ripley will probably be the one that's winning. Unless they have some other plans for WrestleMania, which I doubt.
And we do know that Liv Morgan essentially made her choice on Monday Night Raw, essentially choosing the fact that she's going to face Stephanie Vaquer. So whoever wins this, it seems like they're going to take on Jade Cargill. And
Yeah,
we've already
what
seen.
the hell, what's up with that? Like, with the whole segment too.
With Liv and Stephanie and Jade
Yeah.
on Raw.
No, 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 no. The one before where she was like crying and shit, and I was just like thinking, God, like, that was awkward. Like I thought it was like, one of the most awkward awkward segment in a while. I mean, Stephanie's promo, I think it's in Portuguese or it's in Spanish. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought it was good that they're finally doing something like that. I mean, I know they've done that, with some Japanese wrestlers, but at the same time, is that it's because it's difficult for talents not in the native tongue to do it. We talked about that with Yoshi so many times about his difficulties of cutting promos in English. But I don't know, just to me, you sort of take away a little bit of stuff from that, in my opinion. It's just me. It sort of takes away a little bit of that.
I mean, at least for fans, at least have captions. Have some captions so at least we can see what's being said.
They have captions, but at the same time, it's like it's sort of weird, when people are face to face talking in each other, assuming each other actually understand the language. That's when it doesn't make sense to me. Because like you know I speak to Yoshisei in English, right? But I cannot go on full-fledged mode in Japanese. So, in real life, if someone's talking to me in Japanese, I'll be like, I'm okay. Right? You know what I mean? It's just like if it doesn't happen in real life, how are you gonna, translate that to make it make sense?
Right.
It's what I'm saying, and I don't know. I'm sure WWE has their way of doing things, but it does come off as weird at times.
It does. And for this particular match, for the Elimination Chamber, I'm looking at who the veterans are that can lead the match. I don't think Jade Cargill can really do that yet. And when we
Oh
watched
God, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
and when we watched it with Tiffany and Jade already once, it was kind of a train wreck of a match. And unfortunately, you're only as good as, your dancing partner. And, this is one of Tiffany's like first defenses, I think it was, when we had seen those two wrestle, and it just, oh man, it did not pan out well, in my opinion. So in my opinion, it's got to be either Rhea Ripley, Asuka, or Alexa Bliss winning. I'm pretty sure Rhea Ripley is favored to win, but and I'm pretty sure that's like the route that they want to go. But man, I would love to see Asuka and Jade. Just because Asuka, out of everyone in this match, is the most experienced. She's the veteran of the Elimination Chamber here out of everybody. I think she'd put the best match on if you give her the opportunity.
I mean, if Asuka can teach Jade a thing or two, not that she's learning anything, but if Asuka wins and is able to teach her something, that would be good. But I mean, honestly, Jade has been in the business for what? Like she's essentially becoming the John Gonzalez of wrestling now.
Oh, that's a bold statement right there. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, she. I mean, how many good matches have you seen her in? Right?
Yeah, I'm gonna
I
keep
mean, she
quiet.
has not been in any half decent match. People used to talk about how China couldn't work a match. I mean, she's not at the Nicole Bass level, but damn, like
Wow.
she's not great either. For her to carry the belt, I mean, I still remember when a champion carries a belt, you have to be able to draw house.
Yeah.
She's been fucked up for like how long?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like is she even deserving to be a champ? That's the thing too. Give it to somebody that's worthy. She's not. The thing to me is that she started off in AEW, which I was fine with. But I think, and she's smart about it. She go, okay, shit, I'm gonna go because like this place is not gonna teach me anything. So essentially she pretty much wasted a few years in AEW with the exception of showing her face. I'll be straight and honest about it. That's how it seems. And then she got to WWE is that, if you're training for this long and you're still awkward, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like,
Gotta agree with
you
you.
know, you that awkward in the ring, and then you got a belt. You got the belt to go along with it. I mean, you know, she's not smashed mouth like Goldberg. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
she's essentially one of those people that should be sent to Japan. Like, you know, train the basic fundamentals. I'm not talking about the crazy shit that the girls are doing now in Stardom or Tokyo Joshi Pro or stuff like that. You know, that's not what I mean. But what I'm saying is, you know, she needs to learn the basics of actually how to work. Right now she is. She got the look, but that's it. There's so many people that actually has the look, but you know, can't do anything half decent. You know, I mean, do you remember some guy that was in WWE in I think either the 97? Big guy. I forgot his name already. Was it Ruckus?
Because he ended up going to ECW after.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, he was like
Brackus or
fucking
something like that.
humongous and shit, right? But you know, once he gets in the ring, you're like, oh God, like get the fuck out of there.
I remember that. It was like Brackus or something like that.
Oh, Brackus, yes, that's right, not Ruckus, sorry. Ruckus is the other indie wrestler. But yeah, man, like you know, a prime example, you know, guys like these. And Jake Cargill is very close of, you know, being on that side of the fence. But you know, just because she was a fitness model that she was in AEW for a while. And I don't know for whatever reason, you know, maybe her connection with some of these celebs, like, you know, like Shaq or what have you, that, you know, got her in a better standing because it seems like WWE's very onto that. Like, you know, depending on which circle you're with. I mean, look at Logan Paul. Not saying that, look, not saying Logan Paul is not talented, you know, but, you know, in the days of the Miz, right? Look at how bad his position was when he first came in, right? Reality star and everything. You know, he was known, but you know, he still had to work from the bottom. Like, you know, for someone like Logan Paul or Jade, you know, if Vince was still in charge, I'm sure that they would have to work on the bottom or work their way up.
I to
You
some
know.
extent I totally agree because Miz came in, his very first match on SmackDown was against Tatanka.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was his debut match, so
And then
I
before that, he was doing like Divas Search and things like that, remember?
like announce like as like an announcer and stuff. I remember all
Right,
that.
exactly. But you know, Jade Cargill came in, you know, she's already what, a tag team champion? And you know, like the main single champion, but you know, she's not defending the fucking belt. Like, what the fuck are you doing there?
She's had one defense, and it was
Right.
last week
And
against Jordynne Grace.
here's the thing, like, you know, as much as I like at times how Triple H like to book the old school sort of angles and things like that. Because you know he's, you know, look at what he did with Booker T back in the day with the Evolution stuff. That was essentially the old Four Horsemen shit, right? That he literally took it out of his ass. But as far as the current situation goes, it's like you know a lot of people complaining about how WWE, you know, kind of lost it. It's sad to say, but you know, I would rather they bring Vince back to bring the toilet humor back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Because it's getting so boring, and the stuff that they're doing are not intensifying enough. Like, it if you're really gonna have something that you can build up to a point that's intensified, that it's not awkward, but right now we're going towards that direction. Like the awkward direction, that's a problem.
Yeah.
It's not believable. That's the thing.
Oh, it's showing. It's 100% showing.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like WWE in this situation wants Rhea Ripley for the size, which you could
Right.
very well go with Raquel also, but I feel like Rhea ends up winning in the long run, but I'd rather see Asuka as much as you'd like to see Alexa Bliss win
Right.
that. So I'm with you, totally with you
I
on
mean,
that.
okay, if Alexis wins, right? If Alexis wins, if I have my way, okay, then you got the David versus Goliath sort of stuff. But I don't know if Alexis' body can handle Jade, because one wrong move from Jade, you're done, right? Asuka, it's going to be an interesting match because her style is definitely absolutely different to Jade's. I mean, not that Jade really has a style, but we know what Asuka's style is, right? So, it will bring an interesting element to the match itself. Then you have Rhea, which is sort of the big girl versus big girl type of deal. And Rhea can perhaps lead well enough to get Jade into something passable. So we'll see what happens. But they need to get the belt off her straight up. Like if Rhea wins and they go into WrestleMania and Jade still carry the belt, I mean, it's only gonna turn away more people.
Yeah,
I mean, WrestleMania is not it's not selling well enough already.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're
I mean,
not.
the funny thing is, right? They were announcing their profits last year, and it came to something like, I think it was like 580 million or something close to that. And people were already saying shit like, then how come the attendance is not doing great or whatever? But I don't know, man. I mean, the way I look at it is that, it's getting to a point that's pretty damn ridiculous across the board.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I gotta agree.
I really sort of want Vince to get the Saudi money to just buy back WWE right now.
I saw that rumor. I saw
Yeah,
that.
that's how I feel. Like, just buy the fucking thing back.
Yeah, I saw that rumor and was like, wow, imagine if that could happen.
Yeah, and Vince comes out like, oh, I'm bad.
Yeah, right. He comes out like it was like the Ministry of Darkness.
Yeah.
It was me. It was me all
And
along.
then he go along and go, I dumped the shit on that woman, and I'm still able to get back.
Oh man.
Think
Well,
about the heat that he's gonna get.
oh, can you imagine? It'd be insane.
Yeah.
It'd be insane. And to transition here, speaking of women, we continue with the women's matches as CM Punk isn't the only adored superstar coming home to Chicago as the Women's Intercontinental Championship is on the line as champion Becky Lynch takes on the hometown favorite of AJ Lee. And essentially, this match got proposed by Lynch, who not only agreed to defend her championship after Lee refused to wrestle her otherwise, but AJ Lee is currently 2-0 against Becky Lynch since her return coming out of retirement 10 years later, as she beat her in the mixed tag team match with her and CM Punk against Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, and beat her in War Games. So I guess
Have
the
you
real question
realized
here.
how awkward AJ has become in the ring since you got back?
I saw somebody say that AJ Lee is trying way too hard to be like a 2012 CM Punk. And I was just like, well, wait a second. He like literally is the female version of CM Punk, if you think about it. You know, CM Punk always spoke his mind and, you know, still does to this day to an extent. AJ Lee, she's done the same thing when Stephanie McMahon was tweeting about how great women are and this and that. And AJ's like, you pay us like a fraction of what you pay the men, and you want to sit here and praise us? Like, so when I saw that, I was just like, well, yes and no. Like, she always had her own thing as far as, you know, that goes. But I mean, I don't want to say like, you know, a step is missing, but
But she
I don't.
has.
Yeah, I just it feels off, and that's like the best way I can put it. It's just like something glitched within her muscle memory or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say like it feels like when she's in the ring, it really feels forced, like promos. It feels like a forced promo. That's kind of the vibe I get.
Yeah. I mean it's good to see her back, don't get me wrong.
Oh,
And
100%.
I know it's gonna sell better because, you know, she's CM Punk's wife. And it's gonna be in freaking Chicago of all places.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, boy, come on.
Yeah.
Is she really deserving that spot, or is it just a name right now? It's where my concern is.
You know, it's a good point. I feel like they put her in this position. It's not a main event position, but it's a good push for
Right.
coming back. But you know, she's also been working a very limited part-time schedule too, to boot. You know, so if
I
they,
mean, look at it this way. Hasn't anybody now in WWE?
yeah, you know, especially considering WWE allows all these other extracurriculars, you know, especially in the
And
acting world now.
I have been saying this for a long time. I like the old ways a lot better, where, you know, you have the house shows where talents can actually work more, and, you know, can have places where, you know, they can practice in front of the large audience to get
Yeah.
that sort of feel. Now you don't have that, and that's why you constantly get a lot of these stuff where, you know, it's just like, God, don't do that, man. Like,
Yeah, or we're getting a lot of injuries now, too.
Exactly. Look at the visionary, right?
Yeah.
Look at how many of those guys that got injured. Now they're down to what, Logan Paul and Austin
Austin Theory.
Theory?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they need to shove Brock Lesnar back with Paul Heyman too, in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Let him temporarily lead the vision. Let him do it. You know what I mean? Like, let him do it.
I mean, just to me, it's just that, the visionaries just get it over with.
Yeah, well, now it's hard because we can't even have the payoff because Braun's out.
Yeah.
And the main thing was going to be Braun and Seth. So
Right.
if they have Seth come back, there's no Braun. Now there's
Right.
no Bronson Reed.
Now you got Austin Theory.
Yeah, now you almost have to hold off with bringing Seth Rollins back for the payoff of this whole thing, or you just bring him back and forget about it.
I heard a rumor saying it's actually Bad Bunny instead of Seth.
Wow. Well,
I'll laugh so bad if it's Bad Bunny, man. Like,
oh, it'll be hilarious. It'll make no sense to boo. You know, as far as this goes, I'm gonna say that Seth's wife wins because I feel like this feud isn't over because I feel like we get this match again
Right.
at WrestleMania. But I also like if you paid attention like I did with the Royal Rumble, we saw Natty, or we saw, I think it was Becky eliminates Maxxine Dupri. Natty eliminates Becky Lynch. I feel like we're gonna get some sort of like fatal four way of some sort at WrestleMania for this title once they implement Natty and Maxxine back into it, because it seems like they separated the storylines, but I feel like they're going to clash again at some point here. And it could be the following Monday Night Raw after this event.
You
But
realize WWE has now completely lost it with belts, especially with the women's belts.
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Jade not defending.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand they created the Women's United States and the Women's Intercontinental so that they also had mid-card titles. Not for nothing, but like sometimes I even forget that the Women United States Championship doesn't even exist.
Right. I mean, I hate to say this, but I'm taking back the lineage of when you had the old Winged Eagle, going back to the 80s, you got the Winged Eagle, you got the IC, you got the tag team, right? And the IC belt was always, the match. In
Yeah.
terms of technicality, in terms of like work rate and things like that, right?
Yep.
And obviously back in the day when Hogan was there, it's the name value belt, like who's the biggest draw for the house, right?
Yeah.
Then you got that, you got that belt and you defend it. Simple ways to draw a house. Now it's like a fucking prop.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Everybody got a belt day or some shit? Come on.
Yeah.
They really make WWE turn into Make a Wish Foundation.
You get a
It
belt.
is.
You get a
Yeah,
belt.
you get a
You get a
belt,
belt.
right?
You get a
Next
belt.
thing you know, Great Khali comes back. He becomes the Indian world Indian champion or something.
Yeah.
Right? It's nonsense.
100%.
I mean, have we forgot how AEW started with like all these belts and now they have to chop it down even?
No, they got a lot of belts too.
Yeah, they still got a lot of belts, but they chopped
Yeah.
it down a bit already.
Yeah.
And it's still a lot of belts. And
Yeah.
then WWE, you have, whoa. Once
They
you
were
look at
like,
the list, like what the fuck happened there?
WWE was like, hold my beer.
Absolutely. It's just getting ridiculous with the belts. I mean, with I think a lot of times is that they're trying to use the belts to make some of these matches more important, which you don't really have to. In a way, you really don't have to.
No, just put on a good match.
Right, like,
That's what AEW does. Just put on a good match.
put on a better build up, put up, well, okay. You know what the old timers used to say, right? If the people pay money to get into the buildings, you've done the job. The match is the outcome. It's how you build it to get the fans there, to get them anticipated into the match. That's when you know your money. And I think they have sort of lost that right now. And if they really built the whole Becky AJ story properly, they wouldn't even need the fucking belt. I'll be straight honest. I know that for a fact. Say, for example, right? I mean, I know I'm working this in a lot smaller scale, but we got a show in the Philippines in 2 weeks. Okay. The entire show, and I know this for a fact because I actually booked the whole thing, was basically surrounded by Yoshi's returning to show. Okay, because I have already done the work with the build up and the build up over the past year. Okay, and people are anticipated to see Yoshi come back and kick Joe Mart's ass. Simple, simplistic. We've done that for a whole year. I mean, Yoshi got poison mist. I got poison mist. I got beat up in the ring. I kicked the dude in the balls. Right? Shit like that. And guys were like, shit, man, we want to see that match. Like, at first, they want to see me against Yomar. And then, when that didn't happen, I bring Yoshi back. And now people want Yoshi kicking Yomar's ass. And I was just talking to another Filipino wrestler the other night, and he was like, "Oh, I know you don't understand Tagalog, but man, you should have seen what people say. Like, if someone like me can build something like that for a whole year and it still works, how the fuck can WWE as a big conglomerate, not able to do shit like that?" Lousy, completely lousy.
Well, I feel like this pay-per-view goes with the safe bets, and I feel like, that's what they're doing. They're just going with the safe bets to set up for WrestleMania. And I think Becky wins this match. And that's why I think we get like some sort of multi-woman match at WrestleMania for that title. I just don't see it being AJ's time until WrestleMania, make it a big moment.
Well, you never know. It's a Chicago crowd.
Yeah, that too,
They probably want to go with a happy ending for her.
And see, I'd go the opposite. I'd get the crowds booing, and then, WrestleMania. With the big crowd there, that there's your hype and she wins.
Also, another thing is that, if they do that and then have Punk wins, so have her lose and then Punk wins.
At least the fans still get some sort of happy ending out of it with Punk. But like I said, I feel like at WrestleMania, you're going to see AJ win it. So That's just the,
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean,
we'll find out.
can they even put a WrestleMania in Vegas right now, considering how bad the tickets are selling?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah,
Yeah. Don't
like
give me.
it's getting pretty rough.
Oh yeah, and especially considering each night they only have a setup of 42,000 or something like that. That's what their setup is calling for, which is like 20+ thousand less each day last year. So good move, WWE. Good move.
Well, but they're charging a lot higher in the ticket prices, so I don't know.
Oh, trust me, I know. I was there last year, and this year was.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care, or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month med plus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
I mean, I got people asking me, right? Hey, are any of the guys that you manage going to WrestleCon? I go, no one from WrestleCon contacted me about it.
That's wild.
I mean, I would have at least thought they reach out to me about Taka.
Yeah.
But, no one has done that, so I don't know. I mean, I'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's pretty shocking, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, when I think WrestleCon and stuff like that, I always think of, those rare guests like that, you haven't seen in a long time. And
I know guys in the Dragon Gate are going there for a second time because, Hoholun and I, I think I've told you before, I know Hoholun since he was, 14 years old.
Yeah.
And I know he's going there because, they did okay business last year. Mm-hmm. So and Ho is part of the office right now, so he's going as well.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
I'll definitely have to stop by and see him.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. Well, we move on to our next match. And it's the men's elimination chamber match. And we have Randy Orton versus LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and Jey Uso. And Jey Uso was the last to qualify. And he qualified this past Monday on Raw. Mm. However, WrestleVotes made a note of this. Bronson Reed got injured in the match.
Right.
WrestleVotes made a note of it that Bronson Reed was actually supposed to win and be the last person to qualify for the men's chamber. But due to the injury, obviously they called a, they called a little plan B action there. And Jey Uso would pin El Grande Americano, the original.
Sorry, I have to laugh. I'm still not buying that gimmick.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the whole original versus the new. Like, they should have just brought, honestly, they should have just brought Chad Gable back with American Made and left it at that.
I think honestly, it's way too early to even do something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm saying, like, they should have brought, they should have had Chad go back with American Made and Ivy Nile, and. Yeah. You know, let Ludwig do his thing as El Grande Americano, because he, for whatever reason, it's over in AAA. He is,
oh god, it's mad over in AAA right now.
And, like, you know, here in the States, it's not really that over. So keep him where he's over. Like, oh, you're not. By the way,
did you see that video that went online a while back with him against El Hijo del Vikingo, that he complained to the referee and go, tell him to stop kicking my neck.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's one reason why I was never impressed with El Hijo del Vikingo.
Yeah, and then Vikingo goes up and literally stomps him in the neck really hard.
Right, exactly. Like, what the fuck?
Because then you can see El Grande Americano, like, I don't want to say throw a fit, but, like, he got pissed.
Of course.
You know?
But it's like, if it was in the old days, he would get beat up so fucking bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you do that shit back in the 70s. Think about fucking Dick the Bruiser and, like, those guys.
Oh, yeah, you're getting paid back. And then some.
Oh, you're five foot eight, tiny ass Mexican. Oh, they're gonna have a field day with the motherfucker, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you're getting a beat down on that one.
Mm.
You know, so as soon as I saw El Grande Americano in that match, I knew that he was taking the pinfall, and it was either gonna be Jay or Bronson. So Bronson gets injured, ladies and gentlemen, and we see Jey Uso get the audible for the win. They have him win, which, again, knew it wasn't going to be El Gran Americano. So Jey Uso is the last to qualify. The winner of this match will go on to face the WWE champ, the undisputed WWE champion, that is, at WrestleMania. And it's Drew McIntyre. And a lot of people feel like it's down to Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton here, because, you know, Cody always needs to get that shot.
Yeah.
And then Randy.
New Cena.
Yeah. You know, and then we have Randy, who we haven't seen get a title shot in a while or anything. Yeah. He just recently kind of came back. I can tell you who I don't want to win.
Do you think it's going to be Randy Orton's last year or the last couple of years now? Like, you know, it has to be, right?
You know, he has been slowing down with his schedule, I've noticed.
His matches are slower than ever.
Yeah.
If it wasn't slow before, now it's like definitely a whole lot slower.
You know, I feel like he's like, what, 44, 45? So, like, he's hit that age. Like, even where Cena's 48.
He's a little bit older than me, I think.
You know, he hit that age where it's just like, you know, he's the kind of wrestler, it's, all right, you get your moves in, I get my moves in, we go to the finish.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing out of the ordinary with a Randy Orton match. They're all kind of the same now. And it's nothing against him, it's just an age thing.
Old Viper stuff anymore.
Yeah, no. You know, it's just an age thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, for some reason I feel like Randy Orton wins the match, to be honest. He's the next closest to break the 17 championship streak, if that's even going to happen, which as of right now, I don't see them having Randy Orton break John Cena 17 championship streak.
You know what my problem with that is, that, you know, does that even mean anything anymore?
No.
You know, not necessarily. Like, you know, back in the day, you know, when Ric Flair is like, you know, the 16-time champion, right? It means a whole lot. Now it's just like, you know, once you talk about it so much, it's just like, what the
fuck? Yeah. Especially like when you look at like some championship reigns with some people and they're only like a couple days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, or like, you know, you could look at a reign that Rey Mysterio had that lasted all of 18 seconds. You know, like it just,
you know, it gets to point, like, you know,
it's like, do you even count those? Can you even count that? Like, he literally just won the match. Kane comes out, beats him.
Right.
You know,
you know what? It sort of reminds me of the old 24/7 title.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like when they did the hardcore championship.
Right.
And it, you know, because the 24/7 was just an extension of that title based off the rules.
Imagine, right, if they suddenly allow LA Knight to win.
You know, I've had a lot of friends want LA Knight to win this match because, like, they feel like he truly deserves it. And he, you know, he really deserves, you know, a lot of people are like, he deserves a main event push. He deserves a main event push. And that's great. You know, he's good in the ring. He's got the voice and the mic and the body and this and that. But for whatever reason, there's something he's missing that WWE has not been able to catch on to elevate him into that championship run.
You know what's the thing is that, you know, when the way that it looks is that, you know, the whole Austin Rock combo.
Yeah.
With him, you know, I think that's what hurts him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what hurts him the most.
Because he's like a mix of both. Like, it doesn't seem like he's got his own identity there.
Exactly. I think that's what hurts him. And yeah. I understand from Triple H's standpoint. But, you know, he's one of those guys that's like, you remember how RVD was like so hot and you know, to the audience and stuff. And then, you know, Finn's will sort of not giving that push.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the same way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, with RVD, it's a bit different. But with him, is that it's the more of the case of, you know, the Rock Austin combo that is definitely hurting his stance in WWE in terms of main event. That's at least how I feel about it.
I've changed my mind on who I think wins now.
Okay.
So originally I was going to say Randy. I was just going to, because he's the safe bet. Randy's right. The safe bet. The reality is, do fans really want to see Cody Rhodes take on Drew McIntyre again? I would say
that may happen. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know. I would say the reality is, like, no, fans don't. But like, if you throw in a Jacob Fatu into that mix for a triple threat match, because Drew has been attacking both of them, then yeah, I would say, okay, that's fine, because you added someone new into the mix.
Right.
But I'm thinking Drew is phenomenal as a heel, phenomenal on the mic.
He's always great as a heel. You look at his stuff in TNA, you know.
And I those really were, like, think
great stuff as well.
And I really think that Drew and LA Knight could put on some fantastic promos, throwing shots at each other and stuff like that. I don't think Randy and Drew have the mic chemistry that well. I know him and Cody have it. And then I just kind of see, Javon, Trick, and Jay is there as fillers. Realistically, I think they're the fillers of the match.
Well, that's what they are, right? I mean,
yeah, Javon is going to have the big.
You don't see them. You don't see them as big and credible like, you know, like the other ones. Yeah, they're not at that level, unfortunately.
Javon's going to have some like big flip flop moment.
Well, he's essentially the Kofi Kingston now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's going to be getting that sort of treatment.
Yeah. He's jumping off of a pod, or, you know, we could even see, like, you know, we've seen one time in, Kalisto climb, like, at the top and, like, drop down. Like, we could see something like that again. I think Jey Uso is going to be another one. You know, does his splash off the pod or something. But,
right.
I'm leaning more at LA Knight and Randy Orton, and I would really like to see now at this point LA Knight just for the promos that could go on, and I think they could put on a great match. But I feel like realistically the safe bet's Randy Orton here.
Yeah. But I still think, you know, as long as Jay isn't going to win, I'm going to be okay.
All right.
I'm tired of the yeet stuff, you know. Really am.
It's just me, Oos. Yeah, I'm with you on the yeet thing. I'm with you on that 100%. And we will move on to the main event, which is the World Heavyweight Championship, as the hometown hero, the man who says luck is for losers, the straight edge himself, champ CM Punk, taking on Finn Balor. And Finn Balor returned to the main event scene after Judgment Day ally Liv Morgan had accused him of just being complacent. Now, Balor fell short of defeating CM Punk in Ireland. But it was the respect that Punk and Balor showed each other after the match that caused Balor a rematch, which got denied by Adam Pearce. So Balor took matters into his own hands, attacking Punk and provoking the champ until he was granted that rematch, which we get here at the Elimination Chamber. Now, we are aware that on Monday Night Raw last week that we saw Roman Reigns say that he's going to take on CM Punk at WrestleMania. Now, this could very easily be Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. But I don't think WWE wants to take that risk. And to be honest, CM Punk and Roman Reigns doesn't really make that much sense to me, but I know that they're going to find a way to make a story out of this.
I mean, the way I look at it is that, you know, CM Punk is going to win no matter what.
Yeah.
How is Punk not going to win, you know, in this situation? You know, it's a no-brainer. You want guys to go home, be happy, the hometown boy wins, right?
Yeah.
Unless Triple H suddenly go, hey, you know what, that's a Finn Balor cheat to win. You know, imagine if they take it to a different direction. And have Balor wins, but because of, say, for example, Dominic comes out and you know, mess things up. Right? Yeah. Mess things up for Punk and Balor at the same time. And then Balor capitalizes and wins. leading on to WrestleMania, then you have, you know, you have those two, Punk and Dominic, along with Balor, and, you know, and who won the Rumble again? I forgot already. God. Like, suddenly turning that shit into a triple, into a fatal four way or something.
Right.
Imagine that.
I mean, I think it would be better, but they like them one-on-one matches in the main event.
But yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to go really crazy, something like that can be done. Yeah. Or the Judgment Day comes out and costs Balor the match, then we end up going with Finn Balor against Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
Because that seems like the direction right now.
That's how it feels.
Right. But if you want to elevate everyone further into one single match, that's how I would do it.
Yeah.
But who knows? I think with how WWE wants things to be simplistic in that sense, will probably be Punk winning either way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and from there, we are officially on the road to WrestleMania, folks. So make sure this Saturday night you check out the WWE Elimination Chamber on Netflix. Now, I have some interesting news for you to talk about today, Sean. You and I have both brought wrestlers to shows, autographs,
yeah,
conventions, and things like that. You know, you agree, you know, with the talent ahead of time on pricing and things like that and payments and all of that. Well before the event.
Right.
Well, a confrontation went down on February 22nd at the Toy Stop NYC event that was hosted by Salvatore Wrestling Promotions.
Mm-hmm.
Same Salvatore Wrestling Promotions.
Great guys.
Same company that's bringing Takamichi Noko in to the Squared Circle Expo.
Right.
So I'm reading this off Ringside News, a place where I actually used to work. So according to a news tip that they received, someone in attendance saw Tony Atlas, WWE Hall of Famer, directly confront promoter Dylan Hines at the venue after allegedly not receiving payment. The situation unfolded in full view of fans, wrestlers, vendors, and it turned this appearance into a chaotic public scene. So much so that Salvatore Wrestling Promotions later confirmed the confrontation happened and openly did not hold back when addressing the fallout. Salvatore wrote, "Unfortunately, there was a situation where Tony Atlas and his vendor had a public disagreement in front of fans, talent, and other vendors. This situation was embarrassing, and Dylan Hines will not be welcomed to future shows." The statement made it clear, you know, people saw the incident and it was obviously serious enough for them to immediately cut ties with Dylan. However, instead of backing down, Dylan Hines fired back publicly afterwards with a harsh response aimed at Tony Atlas, saying, "First weekend back in the business and all of you are talking about me. Glad to be hated as I'll be remembered. Tony Atlas is," and he used the poop emoji, "the way he cowered down like the bitch he is. I am the most powerful man in wrestling. Glad I won't smell his stench anymore. Stench again. Bye." Now, the article also talks about Dylan's past here, that this isn't the first time Hines has found himself the center of controversy, as he's previously clashed with Matt Riddle over payments and booking disputes. And WWE Hall of Famer Rob Van Dam also accused Hines and his associates of scamming wrestlers and damaging their reputation in the business. What do you think about this?
Well, let me just put it this way. Okay. When I negotiated with Bobby Fulton, his father, I specifically told Bobby straight up that I don't want his son to be involved. Because, that's exactly some of the concerns I have.
Understandable.
And I mean, God knows, man, like, I personally have not done business with Dylan James, like ever. But, even when I signed Bobby to a deal, I had a little bit of concern. I go, look, your son does have quite a bad rep. I'm glad people are able to separate, Bobby to his son. When we announced the signing and things like that. But he really needs to stop that shit. Because it's making his dad look bad. Because his dad does a lot of stuff in Ohio. So, he does cons and stuff like that. I mean, one of my distributor, actually, because I think they have an event in either March 21st, I think.
I actually know the date. It's March 14th
No, March 14th, my bad. My
in
bad.
Ohio. In Ohio,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So, it's coming up pretty soon. And
Yeah.
that's the thing. And I'm just like, man, you know what? With all the stuff that his dad is doing, that is doing great too,
Yeah.
it's hard when you're a wrestler and turn into a promoter like that, and he's been able to do that. Why fuck things up with your dad?
And big time wrestling puts on literally big time shows. Like that show,
Exactly.
I don't know if you've seen it, but that show is stacked.
Yeah, I know. Like
Stan
Rick
Hansen,
Sasuke is going to be
DDP,
there. I mean, like,
great, yeah. Great Sasuke, Jerry Lawler.
right,
Tons of
and that's
WWE Hall of Famers and more.
right, and that's the thing. And like, I don't know, but I'll be straight and honest. Whatever the hell it is, I just don't see a point.
And I've never heard
Like,
anyone say anything bad about Tony Atlas.
yeah, I mean, well, except for his foot fetish.
Yeah, except for that, like
Mean, like, he made it so damn public to a point where he's just laying down, just ask the girls to like put the foot on his face and shit. I mean,
yeah.
damn.
Well, it's actually funny. I've had Tony Atlas on the show, and it's pretty funny because one of the first things I brought up was that aside from wrestling, he and I have one thing in common. And that's because we both did an episode of MTV True Life.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about you both like foot fetish.
No, no, dude. I think I don't. That man loves feet. I'm the complete opposite. I think feet are the most disgusting body part we have as humans. Like, I don't want to look at them. I get made fun of because I literally wear socks like 24/7. The only time I don't wear socks is like in the shower. I wear socks to bed. And
Damn,
like,
really?
yeah, a lot of people look at me like when I'm crazy when I say that. And I'm like, yo,
Yeah,
feet are
I know.
disgusting. Yo, socks keep my feet warm at night. Like, yeah, I'm keeping them on. That's like extra warmth. What are you talking about? You take your socks off when you go to bed. No. Look at what Tony
Lost
Atlas
me
just
on
did to the
that.
look at what Tony Atlas just did to the show. Now we're talking about feet. Like we have a foot fetish. Well, I have a foot fetish apparently now. The answer's no.
But yeah, no, I joked with him about that with we were both on MTV True Life, obviously different episodes. Super nice guy. So I found it very hard someone could say something bad about him, but somebody did. So I've never had an issue with talent or anything like that as far as that goes. I just found it wild. I saw the article get picked up, with Ringside News, and since we've been in that business, I thought, hey, maybe we might as well talk about it.
Yeah, I mean I don't know with Dylan James. Like, think about it. You're lucky to be back doing, stuff like that after what has happened. With like multiple people calling you out.
Well, yeah.
I think they he needs to realize that, that's something that he shouldn't be encouraged.
Yeah. He should that's something that should have been left alone in.
Like this business is a small circle.
Yeah.
Like, prime example, the good thing is with me, and I'm blessed with that. All the wrestlers that I work with, they all trust me.
Yeah.
There was one time I thought, I actually thought Paul Diamond don't really trust me, but it turns out he just don't talk so much. He's a man of few words.
I've noticed when I've DM'd him and talked to him.
Yeah, like he's a man of few words, and initially I thought, oh, dude probably don't like me or something, right? Well, turned out, after talking to him a few times, he's actually very chill.
Yeah.
So, and I was talking to Pat, and he apparently Paul Diamond actually went to the bat for me and told Pat and go, yeah, Sean's cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's why, like, Pat and I are like, we're pretty close right now. We talk a lot. We a lot of times we bring Paul along into a conversation as well. So, things are working out great.
Oh, very cool. Very
Yeah.
cool. And while we're talking about this promoting side
Yeah.
and all of that, and we're literally talking about the guys right now, you
Yeah.
have some news in regards to Paul and Pat.
Well, we've signed them to deals where, we'll be representing them for appearances and stuff like that. Simply because, Pat is not exactly the most organized guy in the world.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. So, Paul is a more Paul, Paul is a whole lot more organized, but I think a lot of times, when you are a wrestling legend for a long time, there's certain factors where, you don't want to go and actually, ask promoters for jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's understandable, especially once you get into a certain old age as well, and you were at a certain point of your career. You were in WWE, you were in AWA, and amongst other promotions.
Yeah.
Most of the times probably when promoters knock you on the door and go, hey, come work for me and stuff, right? But as you get older, you're not getting that. But they may not be actively asking for these gigs because of one reason or another. It can be because they just feel like, it make them lose face to do that at times. Some people are
Yeah.
lighter skinned, and things like that. You know how thick skinned I can be.
Oh, yeah.
So, for me to go and reach out to promoters and go, hey, you know what? I got these guys. You want to, you know, you want to book up, right? It's different. It's different to have a third person to go do that for them.
Yeah.
And organize things for them, plan things for them, and what have you. I mean, like, while we're talking, you know, a promotion was asking me about Takam Jinoku's bookings. So, you know, and that's because, like, before, you know, I went and reached out to some of these promoters and go, hey, you know what? We got this guy, that guy, you know, do you want to? You know, and say, for example, for some of the newer guys, some of the newer talents, for example, like Junjie, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to go actively asking these promoters because, you know, he didn't know what to ask.
Yeah.
So, you know, so my job is to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, how I should promote it or what have you, you know, that's also another thing as well. You know, and especially a lot of times, you know, it's also there's this emotional psychological factor. Especially if you are a wrestler for a long period of time, you know. When you're constantly getting rejected, and because, you know, let's be honest, there are so many talents right now. Whether you're a legend or you're an indie wrestler or what have you, yeah. You know. The constant rejection, I mean, no matter how you look at it, it's going to get to you eventually.
Oh, I cannot name a single person that is like, that gets rejected and they're okay with it, you know, because you can take a couple and be like, all right, right. You know, I get it. I understand. But if you keep getting more and more and more in a row, yeah, it messes with you mentally. You know,
the prime example, right? Even when I'm working on the action figure line.
Yeah.
Okay. And I we talked about this, right? You know, how often I get rejected from wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like last year, I think it was like what, last September, last October, you know, two in a week was already making me drowning, like in sorrows and stuff. You know, I feel like I need a ball of Jack Daniels to go with it or something.
Right.
But, you know, that's the thing. I mean, like, imagine if you're a wrestler and you're constantly going to promoters. And promoters are going, yeah, no, not going to happen. Or whatever. And a lot of promoters are straight up very blunt.
Yeah.
You know, for one reason or another, you know, they straight up reject you. So, you know, for a lot of these talents, I'm like, is there something wrong with me?
Yeah, it puts right? a lot of self-doubt in them and can affect right, them exactly. in the ring at their next match.
Right. So that's also my job to, like, you know, keep the talent morale going.
Yeah.
So, you know, that they don't feel dragged, you know, because if the wrestler go ahead and do that, you know, and they're not thick-skinned enough, even if they're thick-skinned enough, you know, they will still feel it emotionally and mentally.
Yeah.
So that's where I have to be constantly go, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. Don't get this. Don't get that. Right. Yeah. I mean, one of the talents that I manage, you know, a lot of times, you know, he or she will get very emotional, you know, with how the wrestling world has treated him or her. And, you know, that's where I come in to motivate the talent. Yeah. And I don't think, and, you know, it's not, I don't think people get that. Because, you know, people just go, oh, he's only an agent, right? But there's a lot more work than simply being an agent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you because you have to get really interpersonal with them to really motivate them, you know, to keep, not saying to keep their hopes up, but at the same time is that, you know, okay, you know what, maybe this is a direction that we can go.
Yeah.
And, you know, at least there's something that they can, you know, they can look forward to, because there's always this potential of
Yeah, and
things.
keep them optimistic about it.
Right,
Yeah.
because a lot, I feel a lot of times that's what happens in, like, you know, wrestling, you know, just like entertainment, just like professional sports, that you know, your last gig can be your last gig.
Yeah.
Right? So that's where it can be demoralizing if for a while you don't have anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I constant, you know, even for me as well, it's like, you know, I constantly need to make things happen. Because, you
Totally
know, if,
understandable.
I mean, if for more than 4 days I'm not doing anything other than the fact that if I'm sick. Now, if I'm sick, it's a different issue, but,
Yeah.
you know, for more than 4 days I'm not doing anything. I feel like I got these ants like crawling up my skin. And
Yeah.
it's like, you know, oh, I need to go do something, I need to figure out something and stuff.
Yeah, I do. I'm the same way. And you know, in sales, you're literally told from upper management 9 times out of 10, you're going to hear no. But fans, if you want to sell, make sure you head over to shopkwk.com for all your retro style figure needs, Orient Express, Flash Funk, Dory Funk Jr. You name it, KWK has it, including some of the best figures coming out in 2026 that you'll be able to pre-order for this year from PG-13. Again, I've brought up Flash Funk, Orient Express, Dory Funk Jr. Not only do we have PG-13, but ladies and gentlemen, you can find Shelton Benjamin coming out soon that you'll be able to pre-order as well, current AEW superstar. You can also find other stars from that are in CMML, AAA, that you guys have seen, Laredo Kid, TJP. They literally just had a match last weekend on WWE's AAA. So go to shopkwk.com and pick up some of those cool retro figures. But Sean also has O-ring figures coming out that we saw, including the first to launch an O style ring figure ring that will come with Earl Hebner. So make sure you check that out for pre-order. ShopKWK.com. Fans, you can find Perched on the Top Rope anywhere and everywhere from podcasting, Apple, Google, Spotify, Podbean, Podbay, Red Circle, you name it, we're there. It's Perched on the Top Rope. We are facebook.com/perchedonthetoprope with over 26,000 strong. And fans, remember, spoiler freeze, the way to be. We're out. How was that?